lot of sleep, but also you are not able to function because your home just can't cool down during the night and evenings. So do keep that in mind when you are navigating the heat wave. Some ways that you can keep your room hopefully relatively cooler during the day so that it does come down pretty well in the evening, of course, are pretty simple things that many people are already quite aware of. But in case you need a reminder, you know, close your shades, right? Especially if you have like a south facing or west facing window, close it up. When it's super hot during the day, keep your window closed as well. Open them when it begins to get cooler. Again, if you have like a thermometer of some kind, I don't know if this is going to work for everybody because different homes are built differently. And fact of the matter is there are some homes in the Lower Mainland that were just not built for these more extreme levels of heat because, you know, climate change was not as poppin' back then when these homes were built. But personally, what I have found, what has worked for me the past couple of years, is when I do keep an eye on the internal temperature and, you know, the outside temperature, when the outside temperature becomes 1 or 2 degrees cooler than the inside, I just like open the windows super duper wide and like pull up my curtains and blinds. And of course, you know, try not to like run any appliances or machines in your home that like can generate a lot of heat, right? So like that means, you know, try to unplug like certain electronics, and also try not to cook indoors. Doing a little bit of meal prepping, I think of 1 or 2 days before you know when a heat wave is going to hit, has been really helpful. But also, like, in my opinion, just eating a pretty good sandwich with some good veg in it, I think, can help sustain you for a little bit. Creating airflow, of course, is key then when it comes to keeping your room warm. So keep the doors in your home open to allow for airflow between the rooms, and try to position the fans in your home so that like more air can kind of like move through them. What you could do that some people have found helpful is if you have like a small container, like a shallow container, like let's say like a cake pan or something, or like a shallow tub, put it underneath your fan and fill it with cold water, and that can create kind of like a cooler air moving through your home. I think there is a type of actually electronic fan, I forgot what the name of it is, that has like a container at the bottom that allows for like the air to be cooler when it blows through your home. There's literally like this, it's literally based on like this like type of like internal cooling system that I think, I'm pretty sure like the Egyptians and Persians were using like during like antiquity. I forgot what it's called, but it's a good way to try to keep your home cooler. Especially if you already have a fan, just like do that. If you don't have like a shallow container, you could use like a damp towel and put it on top of your fan as well. That would work. I'm going to try to be bold and say this. If you are also Chinese like me and you have been warned your entire life, like, don't sleep with the fan on because it will cause gastrointestinal issues, etc. I don't know, maybe give it a try. Maybe just like try to stomach the gastrointestinal issues. Oh, pun. If you can. You know, it couldn't possibly be that the airflow cooling gods or whatever had like just this curse upon Chinese people so that only Chinese people get a stomach ache whenever they sleep with the fan on. And if so, then obviously we got to call that out, okay? That's racist. Only Chinese people get that? Please. You're telling me that there are a bunch of people sleeping with fans on. I personally know people who sleep with fans on. They are not Chinese and they don't ever get issues. But if I ever do that, then I'm going to get No. We're not doing that. That's messed up. I'm not saying like try to see if a method of sleeping is racist or not. But, you know, maybe it's more hateful to become a swamp because you are so warm and so hot and unable to sleep at night. If you have... Moving on, how can you keep you... moving on. How can you keep you yourself cool during the day and also during at night when you don't have an air conditioner? Well, many municipalities will post on their websites or on like a community newsletter about where their designated cooling centers are during times of extreme heat. Oftentimes they are a library. I would encourage you to go to the library, even if you're not sure if that is considered one of the designated cooling areas. It's got Wi-Fi. It's usually got air conditioning. If you are working, you can do your work over there. If you are not working, you can find lots of entertainment there. Go with your kids, you know, or just go by yourself and enjoy the library. A very good resource in any community. Best of all, you don't have to buy anything to be in a library. Many people might go to the mall to seek refuge from the heat, and that makes sense. You know, they are air-conditioned areas, or they are air-conditioned buildings, but a lot of the times, like, people at the mall might be like a little bit antagonistic towards you if you don't, you know, walk around and buy anything. If you're just there sitting for hours, some buildings are not cool about that, you know? So just, you know, consider that, I guess. If you are in your home, you know, you're working from home, you don't want to get out of the house and go to the library or some other place or whatever, put a wet washcloth towel type thing on the back of your neck, the inside of your wrist, on top of your head, you know, like in that crevice between your knee and your thigh even. I have tried that before. It is very, very helpful. If you can like take a cold shower, even just like a quick one, or dip yourself into like a cold bath, that can be helpful. If you got like a little bucket or a tub that you're not already using to put underneath your fan, dip your little toesies in them, you know, fill it with cold water, maybe even some ice cubes if you can handle that. And it helps a lot. And having like a little spray bottle that like you can fill with cold water also, and just like sometimes spritz upon yourself is great. obviously, like, a hand fan. There are a lot of, like, electronic hand fans these days. Or just use, like, your... Be a fancy person. And just, like, wave around, you know, one of those, like, the Thorps. The Thorper ones. And that can be great as well. More tips on how to say cool after Dorothy Ashby with Joyful Grass and Grape.
يا نورا The Mississippi kite is one of America's most elegant raptors, with long pointed wings and buoyant flight. These dove gray birds spend their summer hunting over plains and woodlands in southern United States. They often nest colonially, unusual for hawks, with a half dozen pairs inside of one another in a grove of tall trees. By nesting in groups, they can work together to mob an approaching predator. Medium-sized and large insects dominate the kite's diet. During the breeding season, they seek varied prey from treetops to ground, even over water. But in migration, they become more focused. By late August, the birds come together in flocks and start down the east side of Mexico, joining with tens of thousands of other migrants in the famous River of Raptors. But not only raptors. Green darners, big blue and green dragonflies, emerge from wetlands all over eastern North America and also head south to breed. On their trail are the Mississippi kites, dining on the wing, sustained by the insects that are their traveling companions. Today's show is dedicated to the memory of Rusty Rose, a great friend to birds everywhere, including a group of Mississippi kites he followed, watched, and protected on his ranch in Texas. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
I've never been to the southern U.S., and to be honest, I never really imagined that I would ever go in my life. I just never really had much of an interest. If I were to, imagine, places that I would want to visit, but after I saw a photo of the Mississippi kite, that changed everything. These birds are so beautiful. They're so cool to look at. And, one day maybe I'll be able to see them. I love a raptor bird. I love a predator bird. I think they're so beautiful and so elegant. I don't know. Maybe it was just this photo on the Bird Note, PSA. But ooh, this is a beautiful bird. Anyways, I'm Leslie. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. You just heard Toot Ard with Nura. I hope you enjoyed that track, and I hope you're enjoying this kind of trying to be chill playlist as we're wrapping up the show today. A few more tips for you on how to stay cool during the heat wave. We talked about dipping your body into the bath. We talked about, what else did we talk about? We talked about reorienting your fans so that airflow moves well, travels well throughout your house. If you are a person who is taking medication of any kind, it's good to know whether or not the medication will make you more heat sensitive. So I believe certain types of antidepressants, for example, will make you more heat sensitive and more prone to heat related illnesses. And there are a lot of different types of there are lots of different types of prescription medications that do that. So do check with your doctor during this time to make sure you'll know how to like precaution for that. But of course, you know, classically, like, stay hydrated, drink electrolytes. You can buy Gatorade or Powerade and whatever from the shops, or you can make it yourself using water, lemon or lime juice, some salt, and a little bit of sweetener of your choice. There are lots of recipes online that guide you on how to make your own at home. And also avoid caffeine and alcohol, because both coffee, tea, and like a beer, actually, they will dehydrate you. Unfun, not fun. And of course, if you are working during the heat wave, your employer is obligated to give you a safe working environment. Yeah, now, of course, you know, there are a lot of employers who just don't care and they can get away with it. But you can also keep your eye on how your work environment is, and also keep track of your own kind of way to prevent heat-related illnesses when you're on the job. So, of course, you know, drink water, drink electrolytes, and wear sunscreen, especially if you're working under the sun. There are cooling packs and also like these like interesting little like fans that you can hang around your neck these days, and that can be quite helpful. Wear light and loose fitting clothing, and monitor your body temperature, of course. And you also have rights as well if you are working during the heat wave to refuse unsafe work. You can raise concerns about air quality and temperature. You have the right to be trained on emergency evacuation procedures and have potable water close to your workstation. You have the right to take breaks if you work over 5 consecutive hours. And you also have the right to wear clothing that does not expose you to heat stress and other hazards. Your employer is obligated to maintain a safe workplace, to respond to occupational health and safety hazards, to implement a heat stress plan, to respond to any complaints raised by workers and remedy the issue in a timely manner, to provide personal protective equipment for workers, and to conduct workplace investigations if issues are raised. You can learn more about those specific things at Worker Solidarity BC. That's where I got this information around working when it's too hot. And they'll be able to give you resources. I believe they also hold workshops specifically around working when it's too hot, so they're a really good resource around that. The rest of the information that I shared with you today came from Climate Resilience Project on Instagram, and also Ellen_Forney on Instagram as well. I've been using their infographics about this information for several years, and they have proven to be quite helpful for me, but also members of my community as well when I've shared it. So if you want even more information, because I've missed a lot of it, go check that out. And also, your local public health authority also has really great resources on both heat safety and also air quality safety. Personally, without getting into too many details, I have been witness to these resources being distributed from both Fraser Health and Vancouver Coastal Health, and the info that I have been able to give to members of my own family as well as other people who I care about have also been extremely helpful. That's where I got that bit about the 27 degree indoor weather, and they've got other great information in their resources over there as well. So go look into that on your local public health authority website. Tune in to more great CJSF programming every Thursday from 1 to 2. There is Beats and Eats with Nicole, who talks about music, events, and also about food. And she knows her way around food and music and events, but also definitely around food because she's a chef. And every week she shares with you a cool new recipe as well on air. It's a great program. I like to listen to it whenever I have time. I think you'll enjoy it as well. Thursdays from 1 to 2, Beats and Eats here on 90.1 FM CJSF. All right, thank you so much for tuning in to today's program. A little bit of one last song for you today. I've been really enjoying this track, and I hope you will like it as well. This is Salah Ragab and the Cairo Jazz Band with Egypt Strut. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'll talk to you again very soon.